Thank you, Susan. Good morning. Good morning. I'm Jeff, lead pastor here at Adventure, if you're visiting or you don't know who I am. I just first want to thank the team of people who are coming in this week, and they're I can't keep a straight face. They're sealing all the little cracks in this building with caulk about 3 feet up, and then we're going to fill this place with water. For the baptism next Sunday. So thank you for volunteering for that. And thank you for coming next week. It's going to be exciting. One other kind of announcement still before we jump into our message this morning. We had our Logos celebration. So if you don't know what Logos is, we've formed a Bible club called Logos. Logos, the Greek word for the Word, and even referred to Jesus as the Word. Logos. And so our first challenge that we took on was reading the whole Bible in 4 months. And we had over 30 people who completed that challenge. We had an awesome celebration last Sunday and heard from many people at the impact that that had for them just being in the Word for 4 months. Unfortunately, we did not have our t-shirts yet. Uh-oh. There we go. We did not have our t-shirts yet, which have our new logo on them. Yeah. Designed by our own in-house graphic designer, Jaden. Is Jaden in here? Jaden? There he is. Yes, thank you, Jaden. So we do have those now. They came in. They were delayed because of the snow. So you can get those if you gave Susan your shirt size. Okay, that's the important part. That means you... Yes, if you said you completed it and you gave Susan your shirt size, she has those in the back there. Please wait till after the message to go get your shirt. And they're a special edition because they say Logos Finisher on the back of them. So they will be a collector's item in the years to come. So, yeah, I think we're forming a Bible club called Logos. And we're clearing out, if you join that event on our app, if you don't have our Adventure app, I'd recommend downloading that. If you join that group for the challenge, for the four-month read, we're clearing it all out. Because for each challenge that we do, we want to know that those people are committed to the next thing we're doing. Thinking about maybe something to do with Bible memorization next for the next challenge. So we're working on that, and then you can rejoin that group when we get to that point. But this morning... we want to jump back into our series, Be Brave. And last week and this week, we're in the topic of the fear of man and how the fear of man keeps us from being brave in our walk with God. So last week, we had our speaker, Mark, who talked about the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And he talked more about the fear of man physically, like, what can man do to me? And we face that to some level. Maybe in our culture, it looks more like my boss could fire me if I speak out or if I stand for my values or morals. Not so much worried about fear for our life or physical harm. Sometimes, maybe, but more often, maybe it's that kind of harm. But this morning, we want to focus on what might man think of me and how that drives some fears in our life. And can drive even our decisions or to do or to not to do things. So before we jump into that, let's pray. Lord, I just want to come before you. We come before you as a group to approach your word. Our heart and desire, we just declare we choose to be in a posture of wanting to live out our faith. Deciding to not want to hide in fear in any area of our life, but to trust you. And we admit we have places where we need to grow. I have places where I shy back in fear, and I do not want to live like that, and I don't need to in you. And so we come to you, and we open our hearts, and we let you speak into our lives. We invite you this morning, Holy Spirit, to speak into our lives, that you would give us understanding of your word, that you would convict us in the areas that need conviction, and that would bring us to you, not into shame, not condemnation, but would bring us to you and to seek breakthrough in healing and courage. We pray that you do that work in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about really the fear of rejection. As you talk about the fear of man and what they will think. I was going to open my message with an old music video from DC Talk, Jesus Freak. And I was really excited about that idea until I looked up the video, and I'm like, that's just way too cheesy. I can't play that video. It was cool then, I'm sure, but yeah, I was afraid of the fear of rejection, that you guys would reject my idea. But what's that? Yeah. Yeah, you could do that. Oh, okay. Well, if you think about it, though, that song, some of you don't have no idea who DC Talk is and what I'm talking about, they had this song called Jesus Freak. What would people think if they found out I was a Jesus freak? Okay, and that was the big deal, and that was the 80s, 90s maybe. But that's kind of the central topic that I want to center around when we talk about fear of rejection. I want to talk about in the context of our faith. The fear of rejection might cause us to live a little bit differently than our true core values. And so to kind of open up that conversation, I want to take a look at social media. So before I click to the next slide, I'll need a volunteer who's 50 or older and proud of their age, okay, don't worry about that, to tell me, so everyone else has to be quiet. You might know the answer, but don't say it out loud, okay? So everyone's quiet because we're really testing this person. Do I have a volunteer? I'm going to put up symbols from social media, four popular social media, what do you call them, sites or whatever. Oh, Lawrence, well, you know everything, Lawrence. I don't know if I'm going to accept Lawrence. Do you feel like you would know him? Okay, then I don't want you. Somebody else. I'm going to go with my dad because I don't think he's going to know him. Okay? Okay, so you're just going to tell me, I'll laser point to a symbol. So you tell me, what is that?
Well, that's Facebook.
Okay, I knew you'd know that one. What about this one? Shh, don't say it out loud, people. Okay, what about this one? Bad archery, right? Okay, this one?
That's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Close. Okay, another 50 year older. Gary?
Okay.
Okay, do you know more than Facebook?
I do Facebook, I know Twitter.
Which one's Twitter?
Bottom right.
Okay, the ghost remains unnamed. Okay. Scott says Instagram. What's this one, Scott? Okay. Dennis? Snapchat. This is the new ghost that's hiding out there for all the young people. And so us older people need to start using it. Because then the young people will stop using it. Right? Facebook used to be the cool thing for the young people, but now all the parents use it, so they've moved to this secretive ghost symbol here, Snapchat, which I do not understand, and that's why my kids love it. You take this picture, you send it with some kind of message, and then the picture disappears, and that's why they have a ghost for their symbol, because it just shows up for a little bit. And my kids will be like, oh, oh, that's a cool picture. And I'll be like, oh, let me see. It's gone, Dad. I don't understand the concept of Snapchat, but. No. Every time I ask you a question, it's like a 20-minute answer. Why it disappears? For what? Okay. I don't want to know what you're saying. Okay. So. These tools for social connection that we have now, what's my question? What are some of the benefits of some of these? So right now we're on the positive. Like, what positive things can they contribute to our life right now?
They can help us figure out how to get together in person.
They could be a way to connect so that you know how to meet up or, you know, okay?
It just helps you to keep track of friends that you don't have a chance to talk to.
Keep connected, keep track on what's going on in their lives. And uh-huh. Jaden?
Mm-hmm.
Communicate with more people. It's kind of hard to go have coffee with 260 whatever people you have on your.
Very important for getting the news direct from Trump.
Getting news from Trump. It's part for that.
You can get your point across to somebody without argument or conflict.
You can get your point across to somebody without arguments? You can get your full thought out before argument. Okay. Yeah. It could be important to you. So you could use it for sharing your faith. You could use it for your sharing your values or sharing something that's important to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's out there. Everyone all of a sudden knows, oh my goodness, we need to help support this person. They're going through something. You don't have to go through your phone list and call everybody or send out envelopes or send out mail to people. Dan?
It's good for business and advertising.
It's good for business, advertising, networking, and that way, connecting with people, you know, maybe for business stuff. It's really good for small businesses, free advertising on some of these. Yeah. Blinds, you know. One more.
It creates a global community.
A global community. So now you can communicate with people in other countries and stay connected with them. That's true. It's a really good way. I wish they had it when I was a missionary. Yeah.
Yeah, this can be good and bad. It focuses you on the stuff that you're interested in.
Focus. So what does that mean? What do you mean by that? Okay. Which is where we can go next. Right. Yeah. So I think we all know there's negatives to social media, and this isn't a message on social media and the good and the bad. And I'm just using it as an example for us, because I'm guessing a majority of us in this room use some form of social media to some level. Whether that's you have Facebook, you never post, you just see what everyone else is posting, which is more me. I rarely post, but it does keep me connected with what's going on in people's lives, and sometimes I'll know, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so's having a baby. I just found out on Facebook that they're having a baby. Or Snapchat. I do not have Snapchat. Okay, so thinking about that then for yourself, if that applies to you, that you have some form of social media, thinking about the benefits that were just shared, I don't know if ethically is the right word. What is okay as far as the level of your faith that you can share with that community? So let's say you have Facebook. I'm most familiar with that one. Let's say you have 200-300 friends from all different walks of life, different countries. What's right for that? And there's probably going to be 100 different answers for what's right, but like, is it okay to just be straight out with your faith on Facebook? Yeah.
I'm comfortable expressing or saying what my experience is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not being preachy, like me, but being just, this is how I experience God, and this is my experience in life. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's interesting you brought up that point. So is it okay to, what's that? Okay, so he was just talking about if you're sharing from your point of view, kind of like Judy was sharing, it's not necessarily saying you're wrong, it's just saying this is how I experience things. So that's an interesting point that I want to get to. Is it okay to disagree and actually think that somebody is wrong? Okay. How do you do that properly on social media? Now, to avoid starting a fire in the church, the wrong kind of fire, don't judge each other's answers to that. There's, like I said, we're not looking for one particular right answer. I'm trying to get a feel for our culture and our times. Like, how do we feel about that? Janice?
Mm-hmm. So I think you use the right word, judging. When we go to judge others, or it feels like judging, in fact, when we get offended and all that stuff happens. So if we can communicate in a non-judgmental way, we don't know how we're going to interpret it.
And motives are pretty important, too. Like, what's your motive in sharing what you're sharing? Dennis? So maybe private message them or just call them up. Yeah. Go ahead.
It seems like if someone's debating with you, the only way you can really debate is if you put out your belief system and say, like in the scriptures, it says,
I think the tricky thing with social media is you're having oftentimes a conversation with individuals in front of 300 other people from all different walks of life, and sometimes an argument. And can you imagine in the good old days before social media having a particular, sometimes heated disagreement or discussion with every other person you know in the room? It's ridiculous to think of that, but that's what we do on Facebook or on some of these sites sometimes. We can find ourselves doing that. The point I kind of want to get to is, do you ever hold back, though? In the name of, I don't want to seem like I'm judging, or really, sometimes, maybe, I think some people aren't going to like me anymore if I'm really open about how I feel. And I'm not talking about arguing over politics and things like that. I'm talking about being straight up out there. Like, there was a beautiful sunset, and you're going to post on there, wow, what a beautiful sunset. But really, that experience that you had was you were in the middle of your quiet time, and you were praying, and you were going through something really difficult, and God spoke into your heart an amazing thing through that sunset, and he's doing a work in your life, and he's giving you hope where you haven't had hope, and there's this whole story. But on your social media, you're going to say, that was a really cool sunset tonight. Did anyone else see it? Those types of moments, I think I can't answer for anybody in this room. I can say for myself, sometimes I hold back because I'm thinking, oh, there's so-and-so is my friend on there, and they're, you know, and it's like, we have to start asking ourselves. And social media is not the answer to the Great Commission of go make disciples of all nations. It's just not going to happen through social media. So I'm not making that point this morning either. But it's a category of our life where we interact with people regularly, a lot of us. Are we holding back in some way? And I'm not even talking about cramming something down people's throat, but being who you are in your relationship with God, do people see that in every aspect of your life? You got to walk with God. You got to know when's the time to do that, when's not. But is there ever an element of the fear of rejection to just putting it out there? Like, this is something really cool that God did in my life that morning, or evening, if it was a sunset. Kurt?
Spending all your
Okay. Okay, so Kirk's point is, yeah, which takes me right into my next point. Kirk's saying, when do you know to go big? Like, this is the moment. I'm going to share my faith with this person. I'm going to live out loud what I believe versus, no, I'm biding my time. I'm building the relationship and keeping things, I don't know, on the same level for a while so that then I have this deep relationship and I can bring that. A poll came out last year, 2019. Barna Research, very well-known research. And it says that, and of course it's research and it's a stat, so there's lots of different things that feed into why they said this, so don't just take it at face value. There's some really good articles that expand on it more. But it was, this particular poll was asking millennials. So a millennial is Generation Y, Christians born between 1980 and 1994. And it was asking them about the topic of evangelism or sharing your faith. One of the questions was, do you believe at some level that it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will one day share the same faith? And this was asked of Christian millennials in that they identified that they regularly attend church, that they are an active Christian. And 47% said they agree that it's wrong. There's reasons for that. And so I'm not pointing my finger at millennials because I'd like to like poll the other generations too and find out. I think it's just a pulse on our culture in general that it's that word judgment comes up, that if you are sharing your faith in a way that says you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe he is the road to heaven, the path to relationship with God here and now, there is no other way, to present that to somebody who believes differently is judging them. And so you don't go there, and it's wrong. You build relationship. You wait. You bide your time. What's the right answer? I think the right answer is to walk with God in that. But I think fear of rejection has put many of us in a place where we're not going to go there with people, and we're going to wait for an opportunity that we don't know is going to come or not, and then we live enough life with that person that it becomes very awkward at that point to bring up God, because you start to compromise how you live and even what you speak up about and what you don't speak up about with that person. So now there's so much history of being silent about it that you're going to seem like a completely different person. And they're going to say, why didn't you bring this up? Why didn't you talk about this? Yes?
So when you, I'm in the situation, so pray on it. Is God going to help you to find the path to actually pray to that person to share your faith? Or
right. To know what to do, right?
Yeah.
What's the formula? Step A, B, C. Yeah. To answer her question?
Yes.
Okay.
To me, the best example that I've seen of somebody sharing God with everyone that they come in contact with is basically having that language all the time. Everything they do, everything they talk about, their whole life, like the kid's great-grandmother over in Lettermore, great-grandma Moore, everything she did and the things that she said, it was always about God. It was always giving praise. Every time she woke up and any conversation, she talked about it as if it was a fact. Like, whether she should share it or whatever, she just would talk to God and she would talk to people.
Yeah, that's good. I think as far as a formula, the formula is walking with God. But when you are in relationship and connection with him, and he's leading you in your life, you live that out loud. And it can come out in a natural way. It can come out like we see the believers in Scripture, when people would notice that these men had been with Jesus, because you live it out. The dilemma we face when we approach this topic right now is we're starting from a point where maybe, and please hear me, not just preaching at you, this is a conviction I have right now in my life, and it's one of the reasons we're in this series on being brave and stepping out and living our faith, is because we've already had this long history of relationships we've built with people where we maybe haven't been speaking out and living that way, and just naturally like, wow, what a beautiful sunset. That was just a blessing from God that I had that. Or, oh man, that sounds like a really rough thing you're going through. Could I pray for you for that? I believe that God loves you, he knows you, and he wants to intervene and help you in that situation. I'm going to commit to pray for you. You know, just that natural side. And it bubbles up in me sometimes. Like the other day when I was at the gym and some guy was complaining about his hip and his back. And I'm just like, oh man, can I pray for you? And that opened up a huge conversation. There's this facade that people are just going to, you know, give you a bad look and walk away and get offended and it's going to be judgmental. But see, I'm not saying you should be praying. Your back hurts because you don't believe in God. And if you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. There's ways to present truth that's just part of your life. And I think that's what I'm getting to. That's what Jamie's illustration is if you just live that way. I was just like, the worst he could have done was give me the bird and walk off and say, stay away from me. I never want to talk to you again. Okay? This is a stranger. Okay? The risks, you know, if that was a family member, it would hurt more. But it'd be like, okay, that wasn't fun, but maybe the next person wants me to pray for him. I'm still going to pray for the guy anyways, because maybe his back will be instantly healed and he'll go, whoa, excuse me, I'm sorry for that. Like, who's your God? So I think it's just living that out. But the harder question is, how do I approach people that I already have had decades of relationship with and I've been in hiding in my faith? And what I want to get to a little bit later here in the message is, how does that cause us to abandon our values sometimes, even by just being silent in a situation or participating in things that are against Christ, because that fear of the rejection of that person is more important, has more draw, it has more lordship over our life than God. So the story I want to look at to kind of illustrate the power that the fear of rejection has over us, I don't think anybody here is immune to the draw of the fear of rejection. Like, you have to be conscious about it and open and alert with God to shut it down when it tries to pop up and when the enemy tries to feed it to you. Story I want to look at is another story about Peter. We were talking about Peter walking on the water a few weeks ago. Peter is just, again, I recommended that book, Brave Enough to Follow, by Stuart Briscoe. It's a great book, and it follows his life. I don't know that it covers this story. This story's after Jesus died, rose from the dead. This is while Peter's building the church. Like Jesus said, you're the rock. On this rock I will build my church. He's one of the pillars. He's one of the apostles. But he's still susceptible to the fear of man. After walking on the water, after seeing the resurrected Christ, after being commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations. So many of you may be familiar with, during that time of forming the church, and Peter and James, John, the apostles, Paul, are all building the church. They're reaching out, and they're reaching the lost. And there's this time period where they start to discover, through these visions and God speaking to them, that Jesus came for the Gentiles as well. I mean, Jesus was telling them that when he was with them, but they're getting it now. And they're seeing the Gentiles, the non-Jews, coming to Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit. And the signs of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are coming out in them. They're prophesying, they're glorifying God. Some of them are speaking in tongues. And so the apostles are like, they're receiving the same gifts that we are. And Peter gets this vision of this sheet coming down out of heaven. And it has all these animals that would be unclean for a Jew to eat in the old law. So there's probably pigs on there, and there's snakes, and there's all these different animals. And he hears God say, kill and eat, Peter, in this vision. And Peter's like, no, God, I've never eaten anything unclean. And he says, do not call unclean what I have made clean. And so God's saying, through Jesus, I have made the foods clean even. I have made, symbolically, the Gentiles clean. And so then, shortly after that vision, he gets this call, and he goes to Cornelius, this man who had an angel visit him, and said, go send for this Peter. He's going to come tell you the truth about God, because this is a Gentile who worships God, honors God, but he hasn't heard all the truth about Jesus. So Peter goes, he prays over them, he shares the gospel with them, he shares that Jesus Christ came, died for their sins, made them clean, and restored them in relationship with God. They receive the Holy Spirit, they start speaking in tongues. Peter's like, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If he hasn't even held the Holy Spirit back from Gentiles, then I get it now, the vision. Like, Jesus came for all mankind, there's no difference. Awesome. Peter's got it. He's on his way. He starts ministering to the Gentiles. Paul is getting this from God as well and seeing just this fire take off of believers coming to Christ as Gentiles. And Paul's working in this city called Antioch. So here's kind of the story of Peter going to visit Cornelius, and it says all the prophets testify. So Peter's telling them this whole story about Jesus. All the prophets testify about him, Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter goes to Antioch, and he sees Paul there. And Paul is celebrating, worshiping, eating the Lord's Supper, communion with the Gentiles, eating the foods of the Gentiles, some pork chops, ham, whatever. And Peter might, you know, I don't know, it doesn't say all this in Scripture, but Peter might have been like, Paul, what's that pork taste like? He's like, it's really good. It's really good. That may not have been the case, but we do know he was eating with the Gentiles and probably abandoning some of the Jewish laws about foods that are clean and unclean because of the work that Jesus had done. And so it says that Peter started to eat with the Gentiles as well. So he started to partake in that. And he was fellowshipping with them, having the Lord's Supper with them. And that's a big deal because Peter's one of the pillars of the church. And so this was this acceptance, even from a leadership standpoint, of the Gentiles. And then a group comes from Jerusalem to visit the church in Antioch. And it said some men came from James, but we know later in Scripture they weren't sent from James. They came from the church in Jerusalem, which was led by James, one of the apostles. James later says, I didn't send those guys. But they came probably saying, we come in James' name, and they're called the circumcision party. Doesn't sound like a fun party to be to be in. And they come in, and basically there was a number of rules that they kind of picked out as these are most important from the Jewish law. And we want these Gentiles to obey these things, and then they can convert, and then they can be Christians as Jews and follow these essential things. A lot of them were about what you eat. Circumcision was one of them. And when they came, guess what Peter did? Yeah, he didn't necessarily say they're right, but he did by his actions. He stopped eating with the Gentiles. He stopped hanging out with them. He just stayed with the Jews. He totally changed his behavior as soon as these guys came. So let's find out why. This is in Galatians. The book of Galatians is all about Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. We don't have to live by the law anymore. We live by grace. And so he's making that point, and he tells this story about Peter and how he had to confront him. It says, but when Cephas, which is Aramaic for Peter, came to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, the apostle, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Wow. Pretty strong words for the apostle Peter there. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas, so Barnabas was also called up as a major leader in the church with Paul. Barnabas was leading in Antioch with Paul, the Gentiles. But now he sees Peter and he's like, ooh, you know, maybe we shouldn't hang out with the Gentiles. Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I got on Facebook and I let him know. No. I said to Cephas, to his face, before them all. Now, this isn't a model for addressing stuff like this every time, okay? There's, you got to look at the whole story to know that Paul was in the right place to do this at the right time. It was a public sin that Peter was doing, and it is having public consequence. Okay? Before them all, whoops, if you, so we're down here, if you, though a Jew, saying to Peter, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, like he was doing before they came, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? So basically saying, now that you've come and you've switched, you were living like the Gentiles and eating the pork chops and whatever else. Now you're going to switch and say, no, you guys need to be like the Jews now and follow these laws. And so he calls them out on it. The big point here is what was happening to Peter. He was fearing the circumcision party, which I mean, that doesn't sound like I said, like a fun party to be a part of. But he was fearing his place. Like, this is Peter. He's one of the ones called by Jesus himself to start the church. And he's a Jew. And surely those men that came from Jerusalem knew Peter personally. And he's going for it. He's traveling around. He's starting new churches. He's seeing miracles, even more than Jesus. I mean, he's doing these amazing things, like Jesus said, even greater things you'll do, to where even his shadow is going over people and they're being healed. And now here comes these men who look up to him, and he fears them. And it causes him to actually abandon some of the major truths of the gospel. And that's what Paul's saying. Now, maybe that wasn't necessarily Peter's conscious choice. Maybe he was trying to keep the peace. Maybe he was saying, I'm going to just go with this for now to keep from freaking these men out because maybe I can sway them later. Does that sound familiar? Maybe I can. I don't know. I don't want to assume Peter's motives in this, but he's a human being, and I probably would have done the same thing in his situation, but it would have been wrong to do that, and that's what Paul was calling out. And this is important, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So we can feel like if I live under a shell with my faith and just watch for that one teachable moment that's going to come this year where I speak out about my faith, you're actually having an effect. And more people than you know probably are very aware that you're a Christian, and they are watching your actions. And you are swaying people one way or another, and even causing people to say, oh, I guess that's okay with God. I guess that value is okay with God, because my friend here that I know is a Christian, I know they go to the church, and it says in their Facebook profile that they attend Adventure, and we're silent, or we do something, or we take part in something that causes people, even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy, so he had to address it. So what do we do about that? How do we break free? I think we need to ask ourselves, this is what I'm asking myself, is rejection avoidable in a life devoted to God? Can you avoid it? Can you live a life? You can avoid it. You can avoid rejection, but you can't live a life devoted to God. You can't do both. So in that sentence, you're either going to be devoted to God or you're going to be devoted to avoiding rejection in your life, which means you're going to be a chameleon and you're going to change to whatever situation you're in. And so when you're at work in the break room and the guys are telling a dirty joke or the gals, you're going to laugh. You're going to snicker. You're going to take part. You're going to, oh, I got one too. I mean, I don't know what level you're going to go to because you're building that relationship. You know, you're building a core relationship with these guys so they can really trust you so that you can really lay it on them when you get that opportunity. But really what you're doing is you're speaking a lot by just staying there, being a part of it. Your family wants to watch something that is just goes against God and your values, and but the whole family's really excited to watch this. You know, we started this new series, TV series, and had one episode with some really inappropriate stuff in it, but I'm sure that's not going to be in any of the other ones, and they're really excited about it, and we're just going to let it go. Or are you going to be the one that's like, I'm not going to participate in that? Whatever it is. I'm just talking about moral choices. That's one category. But also living your faith out loud, being willing to pray for somebody, being willing to offer that to them, being willing to share a testimony from your life of what God's doing in your life with people. We are going to be rejected in some ways. There's a lot of verses on that. We're not going to pull up all the verses on the fact that the Bible assures us of that. So if you're living a life where you feel pretty accepted by most people, either you're really awesome and smooth at being devoted to God and sharing that with people, which is totally could be the case for you, or perhaps you're not living your faith out to a place where people would reject you. That's one possibility. There's other possibilities too. So I'm not saying the goal here is everyone go out and try to get everybody to reject you because you got your soapbox and you're standing, you know, in their front yard preaching Jesus to them. That's not what I'm saying. But are there situations where we're leaning towards keeping things smooth when God's calling us to live out loud and live our faith out loud? That's the be brave part of these going after these fears. Where could you be brave right now in a relationship with somebody, in some of your choices, in some of the things you're partaking in? And it's hard to start that if you haven't been doing that in an area of your life because you already have, like I said, this history. Oh, yeah, but this guy is going to be like, why are you offering to pray for me now? I've known you for 20 years and you never even brought God up. Well, yeah, God's doing some work in my life and I want to start living what I believe. And so I'd love to pray for you. I think God wants to bless you, and I'm believing him for it. So I want to let you know that. You know, just transitioning now to starting to live your life with everybody the same. And watch. Some people are going to walk away from you. They're going to reject you. Most likely. Some people will get more quiet in their communication with you. And I think we need to start not interpreting that as, oh, I blew it, I judged them, now they don't want to be my friend. But you're offering something good, and not everybody wants it. Yes, you have to walk with God in that. Yes, you have to ask him, what is the loving way to do that? But you can't avoid rejection. And if that's your goal, you're not going to be able to live devoted to God if you're trying to avoid that every time. Here's some pretty heavy words that Jesus speaks to us about this. And I think we hear these words, but like really take them in and apply them to your life, and they're pretty heavy. Jesus said, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. There's a formula. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Okay, so he's speaking to his disciples. Like right now, I'm telling you this stuff, but I want it out there. I want megaphone. You're telling everybody about me. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows, so that sounds kind of like, oh man, Are we supposed to fear God? Yes, and we're going to go there in our series too, and what that really looks like. But there's good news. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even that very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. That's the good news. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And those are heavy words. Not meant to make you go to legalism and works and say, wow, in every situation, I've got to make sure that I talk about Jesus, or Jesus is going to say, you denied me, you didn't bring me up in that conversation. You're going to hell. You're not capturing the character of God if that's where you're going with that. However, are you willing to walk with God and let the Holy Spirit start to bring conviction in areas where you're like, yeah, I'm kind of acting like I'm ashamed of you in this situation. I'm kind of acting like there's some shame to bring you up in this situation or to give that testimony of what you're doing in my life. That's kind of what we're doing when we go to that place. Jesus also said this, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So I think it's really important for us to recognize, are we walking in a place where we're not ashamed of Jesus? We're not ashamed of who he is in our life. We're not ashamed to bring him up in conversation. The more you do it, the more natural it'll be. Like Jamie was talking about his kid's great-grandma. It becomes who you are. And I'm suggesting that every one of us could move towards living like that. And there's people in my life that I can name like that too. It's just like, they just live out their faith, and I watch them interact with people in the church. I watch them interact with people outside of the church, and it just flows. And absolutely, some people are like, whoa, you know, I don't want anything to do with that. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to want something to do with it, but I sure want that light to shine in case you did. And they just live like that. And I don't think it has to be a personality trait. I think it's the way the Holy Spirit wants to live through us. One practical step of being brave, and I think a root of what keeps some people from doing this is actually the fear of man, is next week's baptism. So we have one young man who stepped up to be baptized, and he's like, I received Christ a while back. He's going to share some of his story of getting to this point of being willing to be baptized and follow in obedience to Christ. Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I meet many, many adult Christians who have not taken that step. Or they were baptized like I was as an infant, maybe in the Catholic Church, maybe in the Christian Church. And you could argue, well, that counts. I'd love to have a discussion with you after the service about that, just about what we see in Scripture as confession of faith and then baptism. And it's not to say that something really special didn't happen when you were baptized as an infant. But this is about obedience, and it's about what Jesus is calling us to do, and it's about a symbol of the commitment that you've made. And for many of the adults that I've talked with about this who have gone many years and not taken that step, some of the reasons they give me are totally like fear of man. They don't want to look like a drowned rat in front of everybody. They don't want to step up and say, I've been putting this off for 20 years. So better is to just put it off for another 10. That's fear of man. And I totally understand. We just read a story about Peter, of all people, who succumbed to the fear of man. So there's the challenge for you. If you're in this room this morning and you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you have not been baptized since making that decision, come talk to me. Get baptized next Sunday in service. Not going to make you go down in the river in January. I guess it'll be February 2nd. Okay? I had to do that I was raised in the Catholic Church, baptized as an infant. As I came to Christ in my late teens, decided to be baptized. I was afraid to even invite my parents to the baptism. Didn't even invite them. But I went and I was baptized in a big church in the service because I saw the command of Christ and I wanted to obey him. I didn't want to be ashamed. But there were definitely people in my life that I didn't invite to that because I was afraid. And I wound up baptizing both of my parents at this church many years later. So God works and moves in our hearts. So that's a challenge. Fill out a connection card, or better yet, just come talk to me if you're like, okay, it's not a commitment that you're going to be baptized, but at least I want to understand, or I want to tell you my story, and let's talk about if you should be baptized. And we can do that next week. Okay, so real quick here. We're going to wrap this up. We had a lot of fun with our social media discussion, so we went long. Breaking free from the fear of man. So practically, what do I do? So the reality is, I'm going to be bold and say there's a number of people in here, including myself, who are succumbing to the fear of rejection in some level, in some area of their life. What do you do when you identify it? You're thinking about that area right now, and you're going, I want to break that. For some people, there's going to be a deeper level, maybe meeting one-on-one, going through some mentoring, counseling, breaking some deep-rooted fears in you from your experiences, totally legit. And I recommend that you reach out to us and we'll help you connect with somebody who can take you through that. Some people, it really is a matter of spiritually just coming against that. What's the lie? For some, the lie, my acceptance by others is more important than God's acceptance and his commands. Okay, that's one lie that probably covers a lot of different situations in this room. Truth. This proverb is a great truth statement. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Okay, so the fear of man lays a snare in that it traps you and ties you to whatever that fear is. Okay, so now you're tied to your fear of rejection from that person, and that's going to keep you from living free and walking with God and what he's calling you to. You're tied to that thing. You've just put your foot in the snare. Or a lot of times the way a snare works, if you're a trapper, is the animal's supposed to put their head through it, and the harder they fight, the more it restricts until it chokes them out. So this is true. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So regardless of the rejection of men, you're actually safe if you trust him and walk with him and live in his ways. Let's go back to Peter real quick. Okay, here's Peter in the end of his days in his golden years. Having learned all these things, having been rejected and thrown in prison and beaten and seen God's goodness, rejected in many ways, he says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? This is the guy that was in Antioch and afraid of the Jews. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, not fear of man as Lord, but set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Thank you, Peter. Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So what are some people going to do? They're going to speak maliciously against your good behavior. That's going to happen. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So just live your faith out loud. But why didn't I just say that? I just come up here and say, live your faith out loud, and I didn't need to do this whole message. That's what I'm saying. And that's what Peter finally discovered. And people are going to maliciously slander you and hate you and reject you. And you can rejoice because you're safe if you trust in God. You have somebody who receives you and accepts you for all eternity. And you actually have a whole family of people who do or should in the church. All right, worship team, if you want to come up. So let's pray through this real quick. Just these 4 points. So this is kind of the four, I'll just put them all up there. if you're one of those people that's just like, yeah, I know this is dogging me, and I need to start breaking down individually these places where I am totally succumbing to the fear of man, fear of rejection. It is my Lord. You pray through it. You identify the lie, and then you repent because you've actually been worshiping and following that fear over God. And then you declare the truth and apply it to your life. So let's pray. And if this applies to you, you can agree with this prayer. And we'll break some of those right now. So God, at some level in my life right now, I have been succumbing to the fear of man. And there have been times where I have participated in things or spoken up about things that I really don't agree with to keep people from rejecting me. Or I've been silent in some area of my life or in my faith because I'm worried about rejection. And so right now I want to repent of that lie in whatever area it is for you. It's repentance. Lord, forgive me for not making you Lord in that area of my life. Whether that's family relationships, my coworkers, in ministry, in my interactions with Christians, in social media stuff. Forgive me, Lord, for valuing so much man and their acceptance of me that I've abandoned some of your commands. And then declare the truth. The truth is, Lord, I trust in you. I am safe, as your proverb says. I am safe when I trust in you. And so I place my trust back in you, even for these relationships that I've had forever and they don't even know I'm a Christian. Help me to walk into living out my faith in front of those people and to be brave in those areas. That's the truth. I accept it. I apply it to my life by saying, God, help me to step out. If you're in this room this morning and you know you're supposed to be baptized, Lord, I pray that those people would be bold, be brave, and come talk to me after this service. Whatever it is you're calling us to be brave in, to stand in the face of the fear of rejection, Lord, help us to step out, to stop hiding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love of kindness you have poured.